الحمد لله الذي شرع الزواج وأحب وجعل لكل من الزوجين حقوقا خاصة ومشتركة. فالحمد لله القائل في كتابه الكريم: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين الذي وجهنا إلى الخيرية بجميع وجوهها، ومنها أن نكون خيرا لأهالينا. فقال عليه السلام: خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أيها الحضور الكريم، أيها المستمعون والمستمعات في كل مكان، سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. وبعد، فيسعدنا أن نجدد اللقاء العلمي مع والدنا الحبيب وشيخنا الجليل سماحة الشيخ عبد الله بن عبد الرحمن الغديان حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه، ونشكره على موافقته الكريمة رغم كثرة مشاغله وضيق وقته، لا سيما فقد ألقى محاضرته في مكة ليلقي الكلمة أبنائه وبناته عبر الهاتف، ولا شك أنه يدل على محبته لأبنائه وبناته واهتمامه بهم الذين يحبونه حبا شديدا ويشكرونه شكرا جزيلا ويدعون له كثيرا لإتاحة هذه الفرصة الطيبة لينحنوا من معين علمه، فجزاه الله خير الجزاء. We at the Quran Muslim Society of New York welcome you all to our live weekly lectures, which are broadcasted live every Saturday via conference calling system and through our website www.albasira.org and through our room in Paltalk, live senior scholars of Ahl Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah, today we are blessed to have with us our noble Sheikh Abdullah Al-Ghudian Hafizahullah for third session dealing with family issues. As you all know, that our Sheikh is extremely busy, but he still made himself available for us, even though he was scheduled to do his lecture in Grand Mosque in Mecca and Masjid al-Haram, but he cancelled his lecture to meet us and to discuss this important issue and to answer your questions. We cannot thank him enough. So let us all make dua for him. May Allah continue to bless him and give him long life in his obedience and grant him success in this dunya and in hereafter. Dear brothers and sisters, today's topic is a very important topic. The more we understand this topic, the better, the happier, and the peaceful life we will live, inshallah. Beloved brothers and sisters, it all started in Jannah. And the very first family, the very first couple were created to live in Jannah. And then they were sent to earth, carrying with them the memories of Jannah and to inform their descendants how to earn the Jannah, how to make a U-turn to Jannah. A healthy family system is a crucial part of one's life and of one's success. It is very great building and that immune and inexpugnable fortress or castle which is well protected as long as its inhabitants take care of its structure as Allah has legislated. It will grow stronger by every passing minute as long as its inhabitants guard the rights of Allah and the rights of each other as outlined by the Rabbul Alameen. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is that ideal family system whose blueprints are husband and wife, a family system which is source of peace and comfort, the system all are striving for. That which will help us regain our Jannah, inshaAllah. Our honorable Shaykh is going to present it so we all may assess our situations and see how close are we to what Allah has legislated. How close are we to what Allah wishes for us? How close are we to the heavenly family system so we can keep far, far away from domestic problems and issues? Our Shaykh is going to define what mawadda means, what true love means. So let us all listen attentively to our Shaykh and lead ourselves to our success. والآن مع سماحة الشيخ فليتفضل مشكورا معجورا.
الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه أجمعين محمد وعلى إخوانه من الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن موضوع الكلام هو قوله جل وعلا: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. الكلام على هذه الآية هو في بيان الحقوق الواجبة على المرأة لزوجها، والحقوق الواجبة لزوجها عليها. ففيه حقوق تجب لها وفيه حقوق تجب عليها. فهذه الآية ذكرها الله جل وعلا في سورة الروم، وفي سياق ذكره لجملة من الآيات الدالة على قدرته جل وعلا. فمن هذه الآيات قوله جل وعلا: ومن آياته أن خلقكم من تراب ثم إذا أنتم بشرا تنتشرون. ثم ذكر هذه الآية بعدها وهي قوله: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. فالآية السابقة ذكر الله فيها خلق آدم، كما قال جل وعلا: إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون. وكما في قوله جل وعلا: ولقد خلقنا الإنسان من سلالة من طين، إلى غير ذلك من الآيات الدالة على قدرته جل وعلا. فخلق الله آدم وخلق زوجته من ضلعه الأعوج. والله سبحانه وتعالى قال في أول سورة النساء: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا. والآية التي هي موضع الكلام الله سبحانه وتعالى ذكر فيها قوله: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا، يعني أنه جل وعلا جعل المرأة من جنس الرجل، لأنها لو كانت من غير جنسه لما حصل بينه وبينها تآلف. فمن رحمته جل وعلا أنه خلق للرجل زوجة يسكن إليها وتسكن إليه، ولكنها من جنسه. ثم قال جل وعلا وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، يعني أنه أن يعني أن كل واحد من الزوجين يقع في قلبه ويظهر على تصرفاته، يظهر على تصرفاته المودة والرحمة، وكل واحد منهما يحب الآخر ويوده ويضحي بالأمور التي يستطيع أن يقدمها للآخر وهي مباحة في شرع الله جل وعلا. ما إذا لم تكن مباحة في شرع الله جل وعلا فلا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، ثم قال إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون، يعني أن خلق الله امرأة من جنس الرجل وكونه شرع المودة والرحمة بينهما لا شك أن هذا دليل على قدرة الله سبحانه وتعالى من جهة، وعلى رحمته وإحسانه وبره بعباده من جهة أخرى، ولكن لا يدرك ذلك إلا من أعطاه الله سبحانه عقلا من جهة وأعطاه تجردا يعني من جهة الهوى، لا يكون له هوى. فهذا كلام موجز عن هذه الآية. أما بالنظر للحقوق الواجبة على المرأة لزوجها،
بارك الله فيك. الشيخ عبد الله غديان حفظه الله started his discourse with discussion concerning the family, and he first started out by mentioning the basmala, bismillah, and praises to Allah, the Lord of all that exists, and selling salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other anbiya and those who follow them in goodness from the sahaba and the tabi'een. And then he started, and I begin. And the discussion today is based on the verse found in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that from his signs that he created you from your soul's companions, that you may find peace and comfort in them. In this is signs for a people who give thought. There are regulations and responsibilities, some that are binding on the sisters, on the women, the wives, and there are rights that are due to them. All of these things will be discussed, inshallah. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates, as we look in the context of the verses mentioned, they indicate His power and His ability. His power and His ability. The beginning of these verses started out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicating His ability to create and to produce out of nothing something. And He mentioned that He created you from dirt. And all of a sudden you are mankind spread out on the face of the earth. And amongst these signs is that He created from yourselves companions and mates. All of these are indications to the power and kudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we have other indications or verses dealing with the same concept of Allah's ability to create. And of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the similitude of Isa with Allah is that of Adam. He created him, and He said to him, be, and he became. From the signs is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from Adam his mate, from his rib, that rib which is curved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions elsewhere of his signs, as pointed out at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to fear Allah, who created you from a single soul, and from this single soul created his mate, and from them spread countless men and women on the face of the earth. Yes, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he created you mates from yourself. And one of the indications or one of the beauties of this is that he created the mate for the male from his own likeness, from his own type. And so that there may be some type of agreement between the two, and that they may come together on this basis. And that amongst them there will be mercy, mutual mercy from amongst themselves. And this is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the mate of the husband from himself, from his similar type. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he has placed amongst you and between you love and compassion. Love and compassion. Something that is to be expressed from both parties in respect to the other. And this should appear in their lives amongst themselves. Mawadda, or love, and compassion. In everything that they're able to give or produce to one another, except in that which entails disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no obedience to one who is created if it entails disobedience to the Creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in concluding this particular verse, he says, in this sign, for people who give thought. This also, the Shaykh repeats, indicates the qudra or the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is indicated here also is that only those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given insight will benefit from these clear signs that are there in the forefront of mankind. The Shaykh started, and he started with the rights that are compulsory. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
من المعلوم يعني الآن الكلام في الحقوق الواجبة على المرأة لزوجها. من المعلوم أن للزوج على زوجته حقوق ثابتة بالكتاب والسنة. فمن الكتاب قول الله جل وعلا: ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة والله عزيز حكيم. ومن السنة عن سليمان ابن عمر ابن الأحوص قال: حدثني أبي أنه شهد حجة الوداع مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فحمد الله وأثنى عليه وذكر ووعظ، فذكر في الحديث قصة فقال: ألا واستوصوا بالنساء خيرا فإنما هن عوان عندكم ليس تملكون منهن شيئا غير ذلك إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة، فإن فعلن فاهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن ضربا غير مبرح، فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا، ألا إن لكم على نسائكم حقا ولنسائكم عليكم حقا، فأما حقكم على نسائكم فلا يوطئن فرشكم من تكرهون، ولا يأذن في بيوتكم لمن تكرهون، ألا وحقهن عليكم أن تحسنوا إليهن في كسوتهن ورعامهن. رواه ابن ماجه والترمذي. وقال الترمذي هذا حديث حسن صحيح. ومعنى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوان عندكم يعني أسرى في أيديكم جمع عانية وهي الأسيرة. شبه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرأة في دخولها تحت حكم الرجل بالأسير. تترجمون هذا ثم نبدأ بالحقوق واحدا بعد الآخر حتى تنتهي.
The Sheikh continued by mentioning there are certain rights that are binding on the wife in respect to her husband. These rights are found in both the Quran and in the Sunnah. Those in the Quran, an example of it is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have upon them or rights due to them similar to that which is upon them. Yet the men are a station above them, and Allah is powerful and wise. There is a narration from Sulaiman. He mentions that his father narrated to him that he participated in the farewell pilgrimage along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam praised Allah. He glorified him. He mentioned and admonished the people, reminded them and admonished them. And he said, nay, seek good counsel concerning the women, for surely they are like a captive with you. You do not have any authority over them other than that, unless they come with some open lewdness. Then you admonish them. You separate yourselves in the bed and reprimand them physically in a light way. Also, you have rights over them and they have rights over you. The rights that you have over them is that they should not allow anyone in the place of your resting that you dislike, or anyone in your home that you disapprove of. The rights that they have over you is that you should feed them and you should clothe them in a good manner. This particular narration was collected by Ibn Majah and also at Tirmidhi. He said it is Hasan and Sahih. It is a good and sound narration. The statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Awan, this means, or this particular terminology, refers to a captive. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likened the sister in the presence or under the care of her husband to the asira, or someone who is in this state of captivity. And so he admonishes them to take care of them and to be kind to them. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
الحق الأول السمع والطاعة، فعلى الزوجة طاعة زوجها في غير معصية الله تعالى وبالمعروف، وأن تلبي جميع طلباته ورغباته، وأن تمكنه من نفسها متى أراد منها ذلك، فإن لم تفعل فإنها تكون آثمة، لقوله جل وعلا الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم، والصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله، واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي النساء خير؟ قال التي تسره إذا نظر وتطيعه إذا أمر ولا تخالفه في نفسها ومالها بما يكره. رواه النسائي والإمام أحمد. وعن عبد الله بن أبي أوفى قال قدم معاذ اليمن أو قال الشام فرأى النساء تسجد لبطارقة فرأى النصارى تسجد لبطارقتها وأساقفتها فرأوا في نفسه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحق أن يعظم فلما قدم قال يا رسول الله رأيت النصارى تسجد لبطارقتها وأساقفتها فرأيت في نفسي أنك أحق أن تعظم فقال لو كنت آمرا أحدا أن يسجد لأحد لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها ولا تؤدي المرأة حق الله عز وجل عليها كله حتى تؤدي حق زوجها عليها الله حتى لو سألها نفسها وهي على ظهر قتب لأعطته إياه. رواه الإمام أحمد. تترجمون هذا الكلام ثم نكمل هذه يعني هذا الأمر.
يا شيخنا الذي قدم من الشام هو معاذ؟ ما سمع بارك الله. طيب الحق the first right that the husband has over the wife. The first responsibility that the wife has to the husband is to hear and obey. It is binding on the wife to obey her husband, except if it involves disobedience to Allah, and to obey him in a way that is just, and to answer and respond to what he requires and requests. And that she allows him to be intimate with her whenever he desires to do so. Otherwise, she is in a state of sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that men are protectors and maintainers of the women because of the virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given one above the other. And because of what they spend of their wealth. So the righteous women are obedient. And those whose disobedience you fear, admonish them. Separate yourselves in the bed and reprimand them lightly in a physical manner. And if they obey you, do not seek any way against them. Surely Allah is high and He is Kabira. He is enormous. According to Abi Huraira, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned about the women, who is best amongst them. The response of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, she, the one that is best is she who pleases you when you look at her. And when the husband commands, she obeys. And she shows no opposition to her husband in respect to herself and her wealth. In respect to herself and her wealth. There was another narration that the Shaykh mentioned from Abi Awfa, when Mu'adh ibn Jabal came from Sham and he saw the religious people and the leaders bowing to their emperor. And so he came and he desired to do the same thing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I saw these people bowing before these individuals. And I wanted or desired that we should do it to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if I were to command anyone to bow or prostrate before anyone else, I would have commanded the wife to bow and prostrate to her husband. Surely, she will never discharge Allah's right over her until she discharges the right of her husband over her. Even if he were to request her to have intimacy while she is on a saddle, she should not refuse him, but she should obey. This particular narration was collected by Ahmed. Fadila Shaykhana.
نعم
تفضل يا شيخنا.
فإذا أطاعت المرأة زوجها ولبت جميع طلباته واحتياجاته وعاشت معه عيشة كلها تفاهم ووئام وكانت عونا له على طاعة الله تعالى وتربية أولادهما فلتبشر بكل خير في الدنيا والأخرى. في الحياة الدنيا تعيش حياة سعيدة تسلم من المنغصات والمكدرات، وفي الآخرة تدخل الجنة من أي أبوابها شاءت، كما جاء ذلك عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا صلت المرأة خمسها وصامت شهرها وحفظت فرجها وأطاعت زوجها قيل لها ادخل الجنة من أي أبواب الجنة شئت. رواه الإمام أحمد. وعن الحسين بن محصن أن عمه أتى أن عمة له أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حاجة ففرغت من حاجتها فقال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أذات زوج أنت؟ قالت: نعم. قال: كيف أنت له؟ قالت: ما آلوه إلا ما عجزت عنه. قال: فانظري أين أنت منه فإنما هو جنتك ونارك. رواه الإمام أحمد. وهذا هو منتهى الحق الأول وهو السمع والطاعة.
طيب. The Sheikh went on and he continued with this first right that the husband has over the wife. The right of her obeying him. He says, if she obeys him, her husband, and responds to his requests, and she lives with him in a state of peace and comfort, and she's assistant to him in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in raising the children, this will allow her, she will receive glad tidings of a peaceful life, and she will receive glad tidings to enter any of the doors of Jannah she so wishes to enter. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf narrates from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, if a lady prays all five prayers and she fasts the month of Ramadan and she guards her chastity, her uprightness, and she obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter any of the doors of Jannah you so desire. In another narration, Hussein mentions that his aunt entered upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and when she concluded what she came for, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam questioned her, do you have a husband? She said, yes. He said, how are you with him? Her response was, O Messenger of Allah, I do not fall short in trying to do whatever I can to assist him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, look at yourself concerning your husband, because he is your Jannah or your fire. This is the narration which was collected by Ahmad. The Shaykh says this is the first responsibility that the wife has in respect to the husband. Tafadhal ya Shaykhuna.
الحق الثاني هو عدم الخروج من البيت إلا بإذنه. يقول الله جل وعلا وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وأقمن الصلاة وآتين الزكاة وأطعن الله ورسوله إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. فيجب على المرأة المسلمة المتزوجة أن تقر في بيتها ولا تخرج منه إلا بإذن زوجها، فإن خرجت بغير إذنه كانت آثمة عاصية لله ولرسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. يقول ابن قدامة رحمه الله تعالى وللزوج منعها من الخروج من منزله إلى ما لها منه بد، سواء أرادت زيارة والديها أو عيادتهما أو حضور جنازة أحدهما. قال الإمام أحمد في امرأة لها زوج وأم مريضة، طاعة زوجها أوجب عليها من أمها إلا أن يأذن لها. وقد روى ابن بطة في أحكام النساء عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رجلا سافر ومنع زوجته من الخروج، فمرض أبوها فاستأذنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في عيادة أبيها، فقال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله ولا تخالفي زوجك، فمات أبوها فاستأذنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حضور جنازته، فقال لها اتق الله ولا تخالفي زوجك، فأوحى الله إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إني قد غفرت لها بطاعة زوجها. ولأن طاعة الزوج واجبة والعيادة غير واجبة، فلا يجوز ترك الواجب لما ليس بواجب، ولا يجوز لها الخروج إلا بإذنه، ولكن لا ينبغي للزوج منعها من عيادة والديها وزيارتهما، لأن في ذلك قطيعة لهما وحملا لزوجته على مخالفته. وقد أمر الله تعالى بالمعاشرة بالمعروف، وليس هذا من المعاشرة بالمعروف. ويقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى لا يحل للزوجة أن تخرج من بيتها إلا بإذنه، ولا يحل لأحد أن يأخذها إليه ويحبسها عن زوجها، سواء كان ذلك لكونها مرضعا أو لكونها قابلة أو غير ذلك من الصناعات. وإذا خرجت من بيت زوجها بغير إذنه كانت ناشزة عاصية لله ورسوله ومستحقة للعقوبة. هذا هو منتهى الحق الثاني. تترجمون ذلك ثم نتكلم على الحق الثالث.
The second right that the husband has over the wife is that she should not leave his home without his permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, He says, stay in your homes and do not display yourselves in a manner that they used to do in Jahiliyyah. establish the salah, give the zakah, obey Allah and His Messenger. Surely Allah only intends to remove from you the filth, O people of the household. It is compulsory on the Muslim lady then to remain at home and not to leave without first getting the permission of her husband to do so. If she leaves without first receiving his permission, she is disobedient to Allah and to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Qudamah mentions in this regard concerning the wife and the husband that it is not permissible for her even to go out in respect to her parents or to participate in their janazah without the permission of the husband. If the mother of the wife falls ill, obedience to her husband is more important than visiting her mother in this state. Ibn Battah mentioned in the narration that a person traveled, and the father of the wife fell ill. And so she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking permission to leave the home. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, fear Allah, and do not show opposition to your husband. Later, the father died, and she came and she sought permission to go out again, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ittaqillah, fear Allah, obey Allah, do not show opposition to your husband. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this lady was forgiven because of obedience to her husband. Also, it is not permissible, however, for the husband to prevent the wife from visiting her parents. This is something that he should not do. He should not prevent his wife from visiting her parents. And that they should live together in a state of kindness and goodness. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that it is not halal, it is not permissible for the wife to leave without the permission of her husband. And if she does so, she is considered nashiza, yani she's in a state of disobedience, and she deserves to be reprimanded if she does so. Now, this is the other...
هو المسؤولية في بيت الزوجية على المرأة المسلمة أن تقوم برعاية بيت زوجها فتقوم بحفظ ماله وتربية أولاده وصيانة عرضه وأن تهيئ كل ما تستطيعه من أسباب الراحة في مأكله ومشربه وملبسه ومنامه ومكان ارتياحه. قال تعالى: الصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما يقول: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته، والرجل راع في بيته وهو مسؤول عن رعيته، والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها، والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته. ألا وحسبت أن قد قال: والرجل راع في مال أبيه ومسؤول عن رعيته، وكلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. رواه البخاري. قال ابن حجر: ورعاية المرأة تدبير أمر البيت والأولاد والخدم والنصيحة للزوج في كل ذلك، هذا هو منتهى الحق الثالث تترجمونه، ثم نتكلم على الحق الرابع.
The third responsibility that is upon the sister is the responsibility concerning the house. It is binding on her. It is her responsibility to take care of the home, to protect the wealth of the home, to train the children, to guard her own honor and uprightness, and as far as possible, to make the atmosphere comfortable for her husband concerning food, drink, and what he wears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the righteous women are obedient. They guard in his absence that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to guard. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, all of you are shepherds or guardians, and all of you are responsible for those under your care. The imam is a shepherd over his flock, and he is responsible for those under his care. The man is a shepherd or a guardian over his household, and he is responsible for those under his care. The lady is a shepherdess over the household, and she is responsible for those under her care. And also the servant is responsible for the wealth of the one who is above him and over him, the Sayyid. And he is responsible for this. The man also, in respect to the wealth of his father, surely all of you are guardians and shepherds, and you are responsible for those under your care. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, mentioned amongst the things that are implied in this guardianship to the, in respect to the lady, is her taking care of the household and serving those and taking care of those within it. This is the end of the third responsibility, and the Shaykh is going to continue, inshaAllah. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
Al-haqq al-rabi'u kitmanu sirrihi ala al-mar'at al-muslima أن تحرص على كتمان أسرار زوجها فلا تبدي منها شيئا إلا بعد استشارته وإذنه بذلك، سواء كانت من الأسرار الزوجية التي تدور بينهما أو من الأمور الأخرى المتعلقة بحديثه وأخباره وتجارته وما إلى ذلك، لأن هذا من باب حفظ الأمانة التي ألزم الله عز وجل بها عباده بقوله تعالى: إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن من أشر الناس عند الله منزلة يوم القيامة الرجل يفضي إلى امرأته وتفضي إليه ثم ينشر سرها، رواه مسلم. والمرأة كذلك. هذا هو منتهى الكلام على الحق الرابع، تترجمون ذلك ثم نكمل بعد ذلك ما بعده.
The fourth responsibility that is binding on the wife is keeping the secrets and what is private for the husband. Not to spread what is private and secret between them or in the home. And this is should not be done unless there is first some consultation as to what should be spoken of and what should not be spoken of. Whether this pertains to what is private amongst them in terms of the marital relations or in respect to his conversation or his business and his trade. Because this is included in protecting the trust that has been entrusted to them, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, that we have presented the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, and they refuse to carry the amanah. Abu Sa'id mentions from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that the most evil of people with Allah in terms of his station on Yawm al-Qiyamah is a man who is intimate with his wife and she with him, and then he goes out and spread the secret that they both shared. This was collected by Muslim. Now, تفضل يا شيخنا.
الحق الخامس القناعة باليسير والاعتراف بالجميل. فعلى المرأة المسلمة أن تراعي أحوال زوجها وظروفه المادية والصحية والاجتماعية، ولا تكثر الشكاية ولا تكفر الأشير ولا تكلفه ما لا يطيقه أو يشق عليه، وأن تكون معه صابرة محتسبة قانعة باليسير وتشكر لزوجها ولا تكفر نعمته عليها ولا تتضجر منه. ولقد نبه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم النساء وبين أنهن أكثر الناس دخولا النار بسبب كثرة الشكاية وكفران العشير، وأمرهن بالصدقة والاستغفار لعل ذلك ينفعهن يوم القيامة. فعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: يا معشر النساء تصدقن وأكثرن الاستغفار، فإني رأيتكن أكثر أهل النار. فقالت امرأة منهن جزلة: وما لنا يا رسول الله أكثر أهل النار؟ قال: تكثرن اللعنة وتكفرن العشير. الحديث رواه مسلم. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا ينظر الله إلى امرأة لا تشكر لزوجها وهي لا تستغني عنه. رواه الحاكم. وقال: هذا صحيح الإسناد ولم يخرجاه، يعني لم يخرجه البخاري ومسلم، وهذا الحق هو منتهى الحقوق التي للزوج على زوجته. تترجمون ذلك ثم بنتبع ذلك بما بعده.
The fifth responsibility that the wife has to the husband is to be pleased with a little and to acknowledge the good things that the husband has done and to be mindful of the different conditions that might be upon him in terms of his financial situation, in terms of his health, and in terms of what is happening socially with him. and not to be excessive or to complain a lot. And do not belie the good things that her husband has done for her. And do not require of him that which is burdensome to him. And thank him for the bounties that he has bestowed upon her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the women will be the largest group to enter the fire. And one of the reasons is because of their abundance of complaints. And their belying and not recognizing the good things that have been done by the husband. And so he commanded that they give charity to assist themselves. According to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded the women to seek forgiveness, to give in charity. He said, because I saw that you are the largest majority of the people in the fire. One of the sisters got up and questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to why is this the case. Said, you curse a lot. Yani, mentioning that Allah cursed this individual. And you are very ungrateful to your husband. This was collected by Muslim. In another narration by Abdullah ibn Amr, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah does not look at a lady who is not thankful to her husband, yet she is not able to take herself and free herself from him. This was collected by Hakim in his Mustadrak, and he mentioned it is on the condition of the Sahih. Naam, ya Sheikh.
الحقوق الواجبة للمرأة على زوجها. الحق الأول هو النفقة. الزوج مطالب بأن ينفق على زوجته بالمعروف وألا يقصر عليها في مأكل أو مشرب أو ملبس أو مسكن، لقوله تعالى: الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم، وقوله تعالى: وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف، وقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: ولهن عليكم رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف، الحديث رواه مسلم. وسئل: ما حق زوجتي أحدنا عليه؟ قال: أن تطعمها إذا طعمت، وتكسوها إذا اكتسيت أو اكتسبت، ولا تضرب الوجه، ولا تقبح، ولا تهجر إلا في البيت. قال أبو داود: ولا تقبح أن تقول قبحك الله، رواه أبو داود. هذا هو منتهى الحق الأول. تترجمون ثم نذكر ما بعده.
The Sheikh now goes on and he deals with the rights that the wife has over the husband. And he said, the first responsibility that the husband has to the wife is to provide for her financially. And so the husband is required in a just manner to provide for his family in a just way. And not to be negligent in providing in respect to her food, her drink, her clothing, and her place of residence. This is so because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that men are protectors and maintainers for the women. And this is because of Allah preferring one of them above the other and because of what they spend out of their wealth. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned on the father, he has to provide the sustenance and the clothing in a just manner. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, upon you, binding upon you, is clothing and feeding them in a just manner, collected by Muslims. And when he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was questioned about the right of the wife over the husband, he said that you feed her when you eat, and you clothe her, and you do not hit her in the face, and you do not say, may Allah disgrace you, and you do not take yourself away from her if you are trying to abandon her by moving yourself away from the home. You should not do this. This is the first responsibility. Fadhil Shaykhana.
Al-Hatta al-Thani al-Ta'lim. التعليم من الأمور المهمة في حياة كل مسلم، لذا أصبح من الحقوق الواجبة على الزوج تجاه زوجته أن يعلمها ما تحتاج إليه من أمور دينها، وخاصة ما يتعلق بأركان الإسلام. إذا لم تكن متعلمة من قبل ممن حفظ ما تيسر من كتاب الله وما يتعلق بالصلاة من أحكام، وكيف تغتسل من الحيض ومن الجنابة، وتوجيهها إلى فعل الطاعات والقربات وترك المحرمات، وما هي بحاجة إليه في مجال عبادتها لربها حتى تكون على علم وبصيرة من أمور دينها، وعليه أن يمنعها من التبرج والسكور والخلوة أو الاختلاط بغير محارمها أو ارتياد أماكن الشبه والريبة، وفي المقابل عليه أن يستفيد منها إذا كانت متعلمة وهو يجهل بعض أحكام هذا الدين القويم. هذا هو منتهى هذا الحق، تترجمونه ثم نذكر ما بعده.
The second responsibility, actually the second right that the wife has over the husband, is for him to teach her. And this is important in the life of all the Muslims. To teach her what she needs to know concerning the affairs of the deen, especially the pillars of Islam, if she herself is not a person who has learnt. And also to teach her and help her to memorize the Book of Allah, the things pertaining to Salah, how she should purify herself after having a monthly cycle, or taking a bath for Janaba after marital relations. And also to direct her to those beneficial acts that will draw her closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that she needs to know. And also to prevent her from uncovering herself from those places that she should not attend that are going to affect her, those doubtful places. And also, if she knows and he does not, that he benefits from her knowledge, because she has and he doesn't. Now, this is the second right. Tafadhal ya Shaykhina. الشيخ هذيان.
نعم
تفضل يا شيخنا.
الحق الثالث الغيرة. الغيرة في الإسلام هي ما ركبه الله تعالى في العبد من قوة روحية تحمي المحارم والشرف والعفاف من كل مجرم وغادر. والغيرة في الإسلام خلق محمود كما جاء ذلك عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله يغار وإن المؤمن يغار وغيرة الله أن يأتي المؤمن ما حرم ما حرم الله عليه رواه مسلم. فعلى الزوج أن يغار على زوجته فلا يعرضها للشبهة ولا يسمح لها بالتبرج والسفور والاختلاط. فعن المغيرة رضي الله عنه قال سعد بن عبادة رضي الله عنه لو رأيت رجلا مع امرأتي لضربته بالسيف غير مسطح. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتعجبون من غيرة سعد؟ لأنا أغير منه والله أغير مني رواه البخاري. والرجل الذي لا يغار على زوجته أو يعرضها لمواطئ الشبه أو الريب أو يسمح لها بمخالطة الرجال أو الخلوة بهم ليس عنده غيرة على محارمه، وقد يدخل في مسمى الديوث الذي حرم الله عليه الجنة. فعن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ثلاثة قد حرم الله عليهم الجنة: مدمن الخمر والعاق والديوث الذي يقر في أهله الخبث. رواه الإمام أحمد. وهذا هو منتهى الحق الثالث. تترجمون ذلك ثم نكمل ما بعده.
The third right that the wife has over the husband is the غيرة. And for him to have some type of concern for his wife that he doesn't allow her to do anything that is yani touches her honor and dignity. And this is a type of characteristic which protects that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred in Islam. In Islam, this is a good quality. Ghayra is sometimes translated as jealousy. But as the Shaykh will explain, it has a little bit more meaning than this. The Abi Huraira mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah yughar has this quality. And the mu'min also has this quality of ghayra. Being concerned about those things that have been ordained by Allah, that nothing touches their honor or their dignity. And the ghayra that Allah has is in respect to the believer going and transgressing on the limits ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collected by Muslims. The husband then should have this quality in respect to his wife. Al-Mughira mentioned that Sa'd ibn Ubadah said, look, if I find a man with my wife, I will take this sword and smite his neck. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, are you amazed about Sa'd? His ghayra, his quality that he has? He says, by Allah, I have more of this than Sa'd. And Allah has more of it than me, collected by Al-Bukhari. A man then did not allow his wife to mix with other men. This is something that he should not be comfortable with, just allowing her to be in those situations that touch her honor. And because it might put him in a category where he is qualified to be a dayuth, the person about whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke and said, he shall not enter Jannah. According to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three people the Jannah is forbidden to. The person who is an alcoholic, the one who is disobedient to his parents, and this man who allows for these corrupt things to be amongst his family members, his wives and his daughters and the likes. This was collected by Imam Ahmad. The person will not enter paradise. Fadhil ya Shaykhana.
Al-Haqq al-Rabi' huwa husn al-Khuluq wal-Mu'amala al-Hasana. قال الله جل وعلا وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. يقول الإمام القرطبي رحمه الله تعالى في تفسيره لهذه الآية: وذلك توفية حقها من المهر والنفقة وأن لا يعبس في وجهها بغير ذنب وأن يكون منطلقا في القول لا فظا ولا غليظا ولا مظهرا ميلا إلى غيرها. والعسرة المخالطة والممازجة. ويقول ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى: وعاشروهن بالمعروف أي طيبوا أقوالكم. لهن وحسنوا أعمالكم وهيئاتكم بحسب قدرتكم كما تحب ذلك منها فافعل أنت بها مثله، كما قال تعالى: ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. رواه الترمذي. وكان من أخلاقه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه جميل العشرة دائم البشر، يداعب أهله ويتلطف بهم ويوسعهم النفقة ويضاحك نساءه، حتى أنه كان يسابق عائشة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها يتودد إليها بذلك. فعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت: خرجت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعض أسفاره وأنا جارية لم أحمل اللحم ولم أبدن، فقال للناس: تقدموا فتقدموا، ثم قال لي: تعالي حتى أسابقك. فسبقته فسكت عني حتى إذا حملت اللحم وبدنت ونسيت خرجت معه في بعض أسفاره، فقال للناس: تقدموا فتقدموا، ثم قال: تعالي حتى أسابقك. فسابقته فسبقني، فجعل يضحك وهو يقول هذه بتلك. رواه الإمام أحمد. ويجتمع نساؤه كل ليلة في بيت التي يبيت عندها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيأكل معهن العشاء في بعض الأحيان، ثم تنصرف كل واحدة إلى منزلها. وكان ينام مع المرأة من نسائه في شعار واحد، يضع عن كتفيه الرداء وينام بالإزار. وكان إذا صلى العشاء يدخل منزله يسمر مع أهله قليلا قبل أن ينام، يؤنسهم بذلك. صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد قال تعالى: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. فترجمون ذلك ثم نكمل ما بقي من هذا الحق، وهذا الحق هو الحق الأخير.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah, he says, the fourth quality is having good character with your wives and treating them with kindness and goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, live with them in kindness and goodness. And if you dislike one of them, perhaps you might dislike a thing in which Allah has placed an abundance of good. Qurtubi mentions what is intended here is that you give them all the rights that they deserve. And this includes your providing for them. And that you do not frown in their faces, your wives' faces, but you speak to them with a pleasant countenance. And you show to them all of the affection that you can. And your abundance of good in terms of your being with them, as you mix with them. The word ishura, with which they're dealing here, refers to your mixing together in this state of goodness. This, according to Ibn Kathir, he says, what is intended here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to you, make your words sweet to them. Have good character with them. Make your deeds good in respect to them. Adorn yourselves. Make yourselves look good for them or to them. As much as you're able to do. And do the things for them that you would like them to do for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do to them a similar rights that are upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam said, the best of you are those who are best to their families, and I'm the best amongst you to the family. Of the characters or the characteristics of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is that he had good companionship with his wives. He would play with his family. He would give them advice. He would laugh with his wives. Wow. He even would race with Aisha, radiyallahu anha. And this in order to show and be close and to show affection to her, to make her feel comfortable. Aisha, radiyallahu anha, she explains, she says, I went out on a journey with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I was a young girl. I had not yet gained any weight. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people, taqaddamu, go ahead, go forward. And then he said to me, come, let us race. He said, and so we started running, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I won the race. And so he kept quiet, he said nothing. Until another time we were on a journey, and I had gained a little bit more weight, he said to the people, go ahead. And he said to me, come, let's race. And so we raced. And he won the race. And he turned to me and he started laughing. He said, this is for that time. This was collected by Imam Ahmad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to sometimes at night, he would have his wives come in the home where he would spend the night. And they would sit down and they would talk. Until it was time for him to retire, they would go to their ways. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wait, and sometimes he would go and he would sleep under the same garment with his wives. He would put on an izar to go to bed. to make them comfortable. And sometimes, even if he came home and it was late, he would spend some time up at night so as to have some comfort with his wife and so that they would have a time to socialize. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Surely you have in the Messenger of Allah a good, the best of examples for those who have hope in the life to come and who remember Allah abundantly. فضل يا شيخنا.
فيجب على الزوج أن يحسن خلقه مع زوجته ويرفق بها ويستجلب مودتها كما كان يفعل المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم مع أزواجه. فعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. الحديث رواه الترمذي. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت للعابين وددت أني أراهم. قالت فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقمت على الباب أنظر بين أذنيه وعاتقه وهم يلعبون في المسجد. وحق الزوج وعلى الزوج أن يراعي حالها وظروفها وطبيعة تكوينها، وليعلم أن من طبيعة تكوينها أنها لا تستقيم له على حال، وعليه إذا رأى منها شيئا يكرهه في خلقها أو طريقة تعاملها أن يتغاضى عنه ويتذكر الجوانب المحبوبة منها، فيقارن بين المحاسن والمساوئ ويتذكر أنها خلقت من ضلع وأن الحال لا تستقيم معها إلا بوجود بعض المخالفات كما أوصى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الرجال بذلك. فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استوصوا بالنساء فإن المرأة خلقت من ضلع، وإن أعوج شيء فالضلع أعلاه، فإن ذهبت تقيمه كثرته، وإن تركته لم يزل أعوج. فاستوصوا بالنساء. رواه البخاري. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المرأة خلقت من ضلع لن تستقيم لك على طريقة، فإن استمتعت بها استمتعت بها وبها عوج، وإن ذهبت تقيمها كسرتها وكسرها طلاقها. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفرك مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر أو قال غيره. رواهما مسلم. فأمر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الرجال أن يستوصوا بالنساء خيرا، وأخبر أن المرأة لا تستقيم للرجل على حال، وأنه لا يستطيع الاستمتاع بها واستمرار الحال معها إلا إذا تغاضى وتساهل عما تفعله إذا كان لا يخل بالدين والشرع وأخبر أن كسرها طلاقها، فعلى الزوج أن ينظر إلى الخلق الذي لا يرغبه بعين الرضا والتغاضي، ولا ينظر إليها بعين السخط والكراهة، ويتجاوز عن الأمور التافهة، وأن يصبر على ما يكره منها من معاملة أو سوء خلق، ويحاول إصلاحه، وألا يلجأ إلى طلاقها حتى تصلح الأحوال وتستقيم الأمور. فطبيعة تكوين المرأة أنها لا تستقيم للرجل على حال، وهذا هو منتهى هذا الحق، وهو منتهى الكلام على هذه الكلمة. والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. وإذا كان عندكم بعد الترجمة أسئلة فإنه لا مانع من الإجابة عليها.
The Sheikh concludes his discussion by mentioning it is compulsory on the husband to have good character in respect to his wife, to be gentle with her, to show affection to her, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do with his wives. Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of you is he who is best to his family, and I am the best amongst you to his family." This was collected by Tirmidhi. Aisha radiallahu anha also mentioned that one time the people of Habasha were in the masjid, and she desired to come and look, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved away so that she was able to see them playing in the masjid. It is important for the husband to be aware of the makeup and the nature of his wife, and that her staying in one state for all times is not something that is going to happen. Being fixed is not something that is going to happen. So he has to overlook certain things of a character. He has to be mindful of this and magnify those blessed and pleasurable aspects that she displayed. And also, he should remember the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned by Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Seek good counsel and advice concerning the women, for surely she is created from a rib, and the most bent part of the rib is the highest part. And if you go to straighten it out, you will break it. If you try to straighten this nature out, you will break it. And if you leave it, you will continue to have this bent aspect or characteristic in that particular quality." This was collected by Bukhari. In another narration by Abu Huraira, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the lady will not remain constant in one state all the time. This was not going to happen. They will not remain constant in one state all the time. And if you seek and have pleasure with them, you will have pleasure with them in this state. And if you go to change that, you will break them, and breaking them is divorcing them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The believing man should not hate the believing sister, the believing woman. If he dislikes one characteristic in her, he shall be pleased with another." This was collected by Muslim. With that, the Sheikh concludes his discussion on this issue, but I think our time is up and we don't have our
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا القدر. الشيخ نحفظكم الله لأنك قرب وقت تقريبا قبيل صلاة العصر عندنا في نيويورك, ولكن في نهاية هذا اللقاء المبارك الطيب نكرر الشكر لسماحة الشيخ على إتاحة هذه الفرصة الذهبية, سائلين الله عز وجل أن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته وأن يبارك في علمه وعمره وذريته, ونسأل الله أن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. And before we conclude our today's session, we would like to update you about our upcoming seminar, since many of the brothers have requested. Alhamdulillah, we have confirmed more than 40 scholars. More than 40 scholars. يبلغ الشيخ يسلمون عليك كذلك الشيخ حفظك الله.
وعليكم السلام
ورحمة الله وبركاته
يا شيخنا.
الشيخ gives you all
salam.
جزاكم الله خيرا شيخ حفظك الله. شيخ حفظك الله. الحمد لله. So we have confirmed more than 40 scholars and mashaykh to attend in person our Uthman ibn Affan seminar, which will start next month in August inshallah ta'ala. And with the tawfiq of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to finalize our arrangements, and there are going to be many educational and spiritual courses, informative field trips, and interesting and iman-boosting programs and activities, inshallah. We have also confirmed some female scholars and teachers who speak English language to teach our sisters who have been accepted to join our seminar. We will have courses for sisters by female sheikhat, by female scholars, inshallah ta'ala, and exclusively inside Prophet's Masjid, inshallah. And from among such confirmed female teachers is the daughter of late Sheikh Muhammad Aman Al-Jami, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'an. And furthermore, we would also like to inform you, and this is a great news for all those who love knowledge and who want to seek knowledge while they are in their living room, while they are still in America, or wherever they are, or wherever they're listening from. We would like to inform you that starting September, we will have video lectures with the Mashaykh, inshallah ta'ala. We have scheduled 7 lectures every week in many different sciences. 7 lectures. This is a load of lectures, mashallah, on the weekends. This is indeed a great news for a student of knowledge. We will hold intensive courses in Ulum al-Quran, in Tafsir, in Ulum al-Hadith, in Fiqh, in Aqidah, in Asul al-Fiqh. So 7 lectures every week. And all participants will be given certificate, will be granted, awarded certificates and ijazas. And we will also provide free video equipment to all the masajids and Islamic centers who wish to broadcast these lectures. We will provide them with free equipment, inshallah ta'ala. So look out for these things on our website at www.albasira.org. Everything and more is coming to you, inshallah ta'ala, in September. We will not have our next week session because we are very, very busy planning to make our next seminar inshallah ta'ala, bi-ithnillah ta'ala, from the, by the tawfiq of Allah, perfect seminar, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, the tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please, for our upcoming lectures, visit our website and click on schedule, and you should be able to see when is the next scheduled lecture. However, next week lecture is cancelled because we are busy planning and getting things ready for the seminar, inshallah. And with this being said, we thank every single one of you for coming today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward every single one of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge.